Good morning, everyone. Yeah, that's good. It's always good to get a good morning back. we're going to read, first of all, from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to verse 13. We've got two short readings, and they're both taken from Jesus speaking. So they're all Jesus' words. So Luke 11, starting at verse 9, reading to verse 13, reads like this. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we're just going to read as well Luke 12, starting at verse 8. Luke 12, starting at verse 8. And it reads like this. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogue rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Thank God for the reading from his word. Isn't it special to have the word, have the written word? You know, in my life now, I have many different meetings, and sometimes I talk to people who literally are in places where they're not allowed legally to access the Word of God and have it. And it always makes me realise how precious and how special it is for us to be able to have the Word of God and to speak from the Word of God. One of the other things I think is really special is being able to pray. And you can have a month of prayer. Anyone excited about your month of prayer? Yeah, a few people nod, that'll be good. You know, it's good, isn't it? A month of prayer where you say, actually, for this month, as Mount Chapel, we're going to come aside and we're going to listen and wait on God and pray to him. You know, when we draw close to God, guess what? He draws close to us. And in my life, I've been on many weeks of prayers or months of prayer or different prayer things that I've done. And there's always something special when you set aside a particular time and say collectively, as a whole, we're going to spend some time listening to God, being in his presence, whether we're collectively together physically at that point or whether we're praying in our own homes at that point, it doesn't matter. We're going to listen to God, expecting God to speak to us and God to move. You know, God can open doors that seem shut. In other words, what that means is God can make a way forward when a way doesn't seem possible to move forward. I'll tell you a couple of stories. About just over 10 years ago, just before Media City opened, we'd gone down to London to do a prayer walk around London on the back of Media City coming up, the BBC moving up. And we're in London, there's 32 boroughs and the city. So I came up with this plan, or a God-inspired plan, that we'd walk from town hall to town hall, or civic centre, around the 32 boroughs, right? And then we counted up the mileage. It's about 170 mile. So we did that over 2 weeks. But the amazing thing was, we worked with all the unity movements. I think now these 26 or 27 of the boroughs have got a unity movement in London now. So we worked with all those unity movements to connect with the town hall and say, we're coming from Salford with a blessing on the back of the BBC moving up. Lots of town halls opened up, lots of town halls welcomed them. But a couple of times when it was a last minute thing, I'll just explain to you, because it was part of this time of 2 weeks of really praying for London. I got to Ealing, and it was a tea time. I'd walked the day, about 17 miles every day. And we got to Ealing, which is a borough in London. And the lady who ran the Unity Group is waiting for me outside the town hall on Ealing. And their town hall is on a very busy road, with quite a broad pavement, but a busy road. Lots of people walking up and down. And she said, Dave, I'm glad you've made it. How's your walk been today? So, well, we've been through different boroughs and what God had done that day. She said, I've just been in. The mayor's supposed to book the room for the prayer meeting in the morning, and he's gone on holiday, and he's forgot to do it. We can't have the prayer room. You see, but we have a God who can open a door that's been shut. So we said, let's just pray. Let's pray God will do something. So we stood in on a footpath in Ealing, outside the council of chambers, outside the town hall, and the police station's next door. And we just started to pray. And within a couple of minutes, a man comes out of the police station. I'm getting twitchy at this point, because he walked straight towards us, and he says, can I help you? I didn't know who he was, but fortunately the person who was with me knew he was the leader of the opposition on the council. And he says, actually you can. She explains the situation, said, follow me. He took us straight into the town hall, went to his office, said to his PA, these people need the room tomorrow morning. And he said, but I'm not here. Will you let them in tomorrow morning? She said, I can't let them in. I'm not going to be there at that time. I'm coming in late tomorrow. I've got an appointment. He said, have you got a spare key? And this was an internal key, not the outside door key, because the outside door will be open. It's an internal, like, touch card key. And she said, yes, sir. Give it to them so they can let themselves in at the moment. And when they're going out, they'll give it to you because you'll be there when they're leaving. So there was one point where we couldn't have access. There's the next point with the person who's heading up the Unity Movement in Ealing walking out with a key to the town hall. See, that's what God does. When you spend time together, God opens doors that seem shut. He makes a way forward that seems impossible to go forward. Now, that wasn't the only one. Another one, we got to Haringey. And one of the guys who runs the Unity Movement in Haringey, he's got 30, 40 people outside the town hall in Haringey. Then they realised there's been a bit of confusion and no one's booked the town hall to go in and pray. So the lady from the Salvation Army says, don't worry, I'll go and ask. Me of little face thinking, yeah, like they're going to give you a room just by walking and asking. But you see, God's gone before. She walks in, the person on the desk at the town hall in Haringey recognises the Salvation Army lady because she was his Sunday school teacher when he was in Sunday school in the Salvation Army. And she said, excuse me, she recognised him, they had this conversation. He said, I've got no rooms, they're all booked up. The only place I can possibly give you is the council chambers. Would you be happy to pray in the council chambers? So we ended up in the council chambers. When you start to pray, when you come together in unity, and you ask God to show you a way forward, what I found time and time again, God opens doors that seemed shut. God makes a way, because God's got a plan and God's got a future for you. When you're looking at this verse here, and it says this, go back in, it says this in, we're going to go back to Luke 11 verse 9, it says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. Anyone who asks, receive, the ones who seek, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask you a question. What are you asking for? Individually, collectively, to come into God's presence, what are you asking for as Mount Chapel? You don't have to answer that now. It's just, it's questions to take forward with you into a month of prayer. God teaches what to ask for. Teaches what to ask for. Because anything we ask in His name, that and we ask because He's teaching us how to pray for it, He's going to give you. He's going to give you the prayer and He's going to give you the answer to the prayer. So ask and it will be given to you. Then it says this, seek and you will find. Who are you seeking? What are you seeking? Because we need to ask, we need to seek. To seek means to pursue, means to go after, means to search for, to find. It takes effort. If I'm seeking something, I don't just sit down in my chair. I get up and I'm looking for it. I'm trying to find it. I'm pursuing it. I'm seeking after it. A question. Collectively, who are you going to seek for in your month of prayer? Seek for Him. For His presence. To get close to Him. Pursue Him. Let Him teach you how to ask and what to ask for. But pursue Him. And it goes, it says here, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. There's many things in life that at times look impossible. Have you ever got to a situation in life when it's like the door's closed and you think, how do I move forward from here? How does this change? This seems impossible. Knock and the door will be open. God's got an amazing way of leading you forward. Now, he's just reflecting on that. I just want us to go back a couple of verses to what we didn't read, because it's going to help us understand how we should go around asking, seeking and knocking. And it says this in verse 5 of the same chapter. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Then he goes on to say, so I say, ask. So what it's saying before that, have some shameless audacity. That sounds like God. When we come before God in the month of prayer, have some shameless audacity. That's what the words he's telling us. And audacity means a willingness to take bold risks. To come before God and ask him for what looks impossible, because with God, all things are possible. It's like to say, we're here, what I'm going to ask with shameless audacity. I'm going to believe the impossible. God's put that prayer on my heart for something that seems impossible, but I'm going to believe for the impossible. I'm going to believe with a shameless audacity that he is able to do immeasurably more than ever I could ask or imagine. And he's got a plan. And he's got a purpose. And he's got me in the palm of his hand. And he's taking me on a journey. And he's taking you collectively on a journey. Shameless audacity. Imagine asking with a shameless audacity. You ask for quite a bit, don't you? If you're going to ask with a bold risk, you're going to ask for quite a bit. If you're going to seek with a shameless audacity, you're going to seek, and you're not going to take, I can't find it all at the moment. No, you're going to pursue the fullness of what you're asking for. You're going to pursue it. You're going to run for it. You're going to go for it. And then knocking on the door. I love this parable Jesus tells. He's just led them in the Lord's Prayer, as we know, and he's telling them this parable about knocking on the door at midnight and asking for food. And it's like, don't just give me a bit of food, give me enough food. I don't just want to get by, give me a feast. Give me enough so that the people feel really well fed. And as you come into this month of prayer, ask. And what does it say? It will be given to you. Seek. And what does it say? It will be found. Knock. And the door will be open to you. It's not maybe, it's not could be, it will be open to you. And ask with a shameless audacity. in chapter 11, again, verse 13, it says this: "If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, quite often when we think of the coming of the Holy Spirit, quite rightly, we think of the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming on all 120 in the upper room. But you know, they were filled repeatedly with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just that one off. In Acts 4:31, it says this. Acts 4:31, it says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." Now, that's after they've been praying for Peter and John, who've been arrested, and Peter and John get released. That was after the healing of the man at the beautiful gate. And then they come back, and when they're together, it says there, I'll just read again, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken." Can you imagine the move of the Holy Spirit to a point where the place is shaken? "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." What have they just been doing? They just come together to pray. They've been praying together as the church for Peter and John, who've been arrested. They saw the answer. They asked for the release of Peter and John. They saw the answer. They were released. But then the Holy Spirit moved. The place was shaken. They were filled again with the Holy Spirit, with the consequence they spoke the word of God boldly. In other words, they had that shameless audacity. They like filled up a bit more with the Holy Spirit. And they have the confidence and they have the belief and the faith in God that he can do immeasurably more. Let's see what happened next as they did that. Just the next few verses in that part, it says this from verse 32 of Acts 4. It says, "All the believers were of one heart and one mind." In other words, they were complete unity. There was a oneness. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were one in the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. There was a complete unity, a complete focus on what they were there for. And it says, "No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power," that's of the Holy Spirit, "the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them." Every need was met. How did it start? They set a time aside to pray. They were then brought together in complete unity. Then the power of the Holy Spirit moved in even greater power. And this is the parts we've been reading about, knocking, about seeking, and about asking for Jesus' words. And it goes on to say this: "And there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned large houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to anyone who had need." See, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. You know, when you come together for a month of prayer, and to say this respectfully, be prepared to be filled again with the Holy Spirit in that month. Be prepared for God to meet with you in a very intimate, very close way. Be prepared to ask with that audacity, with a shameless audacity, because he is your Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you, who is for you, who's not against you, who wants the best for you. And he's the one, as Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church." Tell you what, he builds a great church. He's building his bride. That's what the church is, the bride of Christ. That's what he's going to do. See, when you set time aside, you're giving space and permission to God to move amongst us. the Holy Spirit to move in power, the Holy Spirit to raise up gifts in people, to raise up the fruit in you all. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. It's like our culture, it's like our DNA, it's like who we are, the fruit of the Spirit. But that's going to, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, etc., it's going to become even more evident amongst you all. And you know what that ends up being like? It's like a light on a hill that attracts people. And you're in the right place to be a light on a hill. You can look right down Langworthy Road. You're going to be attractful, and people are going to come. You know, in the last part of the reading we read, which was in Luke 12. I just want to look at the one verse out of this part of the reading. Luke 12, verse 11. And I want us to think about this just for a few minutes. It says here, "When you are brought before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you defend yourself or what you say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to give you the right words to say at the right time to the right people. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the right words to say at the right time to the right people. I want to tell you a quick story which will help explain this. When they were building Media City, just before it was going to open, there was a meeting of the Religious and Ethics Committee of the BBC in the Lowry. And I got a phone call to say, "Will you come as a local Salford resident and speak to this committee?" There was about 40 people on this committee. "The committee sits all day. Will you come for the whole day and will you say something?" And I wasn't given a running order. I went not knowing when I was going to speak. But what I did, I got myself ready to speak. So I said, "God, what should I say? The Holy Spirit's going to give me the words to say. Just as it's saying here. What do I say?" God said this to them, "Welcome them home." I was a bit puzzled. I'm just being honest with you. I was puzzled. I said, "God, they've never been in Salford before. You know, they're moving from London to Salford. They've only been in London." You know, he said this. He said, "Home isn't where you come from. Home is where you belong. Your place of belonging. And I've made Salford a creative city. And they belong here, and they're going to get even more creative by being here. Because they're going to be in the right place." So I went along to the meeting, took a prayer team with me, about 5-6 people, and they stayed in the coffee shop downstairs. They bought a lot of cup of coffees that day because it was an all-day meeting. And they prayed while we were upstairs. And it got to the running order, and they said, "You're on in the afternoon. The Director General of the BBC is going to speak first. Then the head of BBC North will speak second, and you'll speak after them." I didn't realise they were going to be there. So I'm still there, and I got up and say, it got up when it was my part to speak in front of the committee. I said, "Can I just say one thing? Welcome home." I said, "You're all looking at me like I'm silly now, because you've never been to Salford before as a BBC." And they all started to laugh. I said, "Yes." I said, "Home isn't where you come from. Home is where you belong. And this is why you belong here." And I went for an explain all the creative people who come from Salford, and some of them they'd employed and what they'd done and all the rest of it. I said, "So this is a city of creativity." And I said, "I believe God's made this a city of creativity. That's why you belong here." See, God gave me those words. At the end of that meeting, a lady came up to me and she said this, "I'm your conduit to the BBC. Never heard the word, you know, conduit is what the electricians put the electric cables through, from my old line of work. So that's really interesting. So I had a chat and agreed to meet this lady, and she was one of the people in charge of moving the BBC up. When I went downstairs, the people who were praying downstairs said, "David kept on getting this word, it didn't make any sense." I said, "What was it?" "God said he's going to provide you with a conduit." See, God gives words that have meaning and have power. See, for all of us, if you think of the footprint of Mount Chapel, your footprint isn't just this building. It is, in a sense, of the physicality of the place. That's your footprint. But think of every person you all meet each week, every place you go, every person you speak to, every situation you're in. That's the complete footprint of Mount Chapel. Now think about this. If you're open to the Holy Spirit telling you and showing you and you're listening what to say to each person, the word of encouragement, it might be for one. It might be just a simple word of blessing for another. It might be a word of thanks to another. It might be a word of just honouring somebody and recognising what they've done when other people have not done it. But God says, do that for them. They need to hear that. It might be sharing the gospel boldly with them. Whatever it is, he tells you what to say. Think of how many hundreds, if not thousands of people at the end of the week you've all spoken to. That's your footprint. That's when he's saying here, when you go inside the synagogue, he doesn't mean just wait till you've been arrested to listen to the Holy Spirit for what to say. He said, you do that there, he's going to give it you there, but practice it every day. Practice just listening to God and say, what should I be saying? What's the right words to speak in that situation? When I'm going around Tesco, or I'm going around Savers, or other supermarkets are available, and I'm pushing my trolley, and somebody has a bit of chit-chat with me, just be open. What does God want you to say? Does that person just need a word of encouragement? What does that person need? God knows. It amazes me that God knows everyone, even to the amount of hairs on the head. He knows them in detail. He knows what they need to hear. You know, one of the other things that Mount Chapel does, it speaks to so many people who pass the building by the banner on the side there. When you think about the words you speak out, and if our words have power and our words have authority, what we put out there has the same thing. Literally, if you counted the amount of cars who go past, and we just live around the corner, so we often pull up at these lights here, and guess what you do? You read something if it's there. It's just automatic. You don't even think about it, you just read it because it's there. How many thousands of people, and they go away without text in their minds? That's your footprint. That's your influence. But having that influence used to its maximum by allowing the Holy Spirit to keep on speaking to you, by listening to the Holy Spirit, by being prepared to say his words at the right time to the right people. When you think about it, if you added up how many people you speak to in a week, for some people it will be a smaller number, but from others it will be quite a large number. People they communicate, you communicate with emails to, at work, people you phone up, people you text, people you're in a WhatsApp group with. There's that many ways of communicating nowadays, isn't there? People, you do all those things. If I speak as the Holy Spirit would have me speak in all those conversations, I'm constantly sowing seed. And what you sow, you reap. When I plant a seed, it's going to grow. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to help the person. As we're looking at what Jesus said about being in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being in us in these passages, just that real thing to think of and remember, what are you asking for? What are you going to seek? What door do you need to knock on so it opens? Are you prepared to listen to the Holy Spirit in that month? To really listen, really let the Holy Spirit speak to you and be filled again with the Holy Spirit. And be ready to receive the right words for the right people at the right time from the Holy Spirit. Now, a success of a month of prayer, the start of that success is seen within a month. But you know the success of a month of prayer is seen ongoing. Because it'll start here, but it'll plant seeds that will grow and develop as you, as a fellowship, will grow and develop in him, but also numerically and in what you do, guided by him. It's like starting again. Every time I'm refilled with the Holy Spirit, it's like, I've done that journey, now I'm ready for the next part of the journey. I feel empowered, I feel emboldened in him. I can ask audaciously in him. And I think just as we think about that month of prayer, We're just going to pray now for that month of prayer. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to move amongst us in that month of prayer. If that's all right with everyone. And we're going to pray that we'll really hear God in that month of prayer as a church. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask again that even this morning you would fill us again with your Holy Spirit in preparation for that month of prayer. Will you fill us again? Will you fill us to overflowing? May we hear your voice clearly. May we know your leading and know your guiding. May we hear the plans you've got for us. Plans to prosper us. Plans to develop us. Plans to grow us. Father God, may our eyes be upon you as we lead up to that month and during that month. May our ears be attuned to you. May we hear your words. Thank you that your words are powerful and your words are truth. May we hear your words. And Father, may it be a start of the next season of Mount Chapel. May you bless us. May we be encouraged in the month. And may we see things we didn't expect. And will you help us to ask with shameless audacity. May we have the confidence in you to ask without shameless audacity. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. That was really encouraging. So I'd encourage you to be thinking on what Dave's spoken to us about this morning. What are you asking for? What are you seeking? And which door are you knocking on in the next couple of weeks as we prepare for this special time of this month of prayer? And if God's spoken to you during the service of anything that you might want to ask for or seek for Mount Chapel, then please do see Sandra or Vanessa during the coffee time, and I'm sure they will include that in the booklet for the month of prayer. So do hang around and have some tea and coffee with us through in the other room, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week.